Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
The purpose of Advent season is to get ready for the coming of the Lord. That is why Advent bumps up against Christmas year after year, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Our text today is about events that happened before Jesus' death, not his birth. So, you may ask yourself, why did I choose this text for the second Sunday in Advent? Well, the answer is simple. I didn't. The Holy Spirit did. And it is his job to point toward Jesus. Jesus has come. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming again. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today needing your touch, yearning to hear your voice. We want you. We want you to be a part of our daily lives and the life that we live in this season, the season of Thanksgiving, the season that we celebrate the birth of your Son. And so today we ask that you will visit us in our hearts, in our minds. Be with us, Father, in every way. Fill us to overflowing, that we may pronounce that you are truly here. Father, if there's anything that I should say that is not in keeping with your word, then cast it out. The people did not come to hear me. They came to hear from you today. And it is you who I pray will speak into our hearts with a word that is powerful and strong and full of life and hope, that it will be the word of salvation to many, the word of welcoming to those who are coming back, the word of challenge to us all. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you look with me into Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 25 through 36. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. On the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, from the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree, all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that the summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that the day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There was a sign in the sky when Jesus was born. A star was seen from afar, and wise men who had heard the story that the birth of a king would be surrounded by signs in the sky came tracking that star. At Jesus' second coming, everyone on the earth will see the signs in the sun and moon and in the stars, and we should get ready, for the king is coming. Talk about an invasion. Think about it. The whole sky opens up and rolls back at his coming. No wonder men's hearts fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth, because their sins strike them down. The sins of your heart are weighing you down. You've turned your back on the opportunity to receive God's good news, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the King who offered Himself in your place to take the punishment you deserve, that you might live, have life abundant, and life everlasting. But, like the Jews that would not look up and see the light of God, you too have turned away. The Jews who would not hear His voice calling them, they turned their backs on Him. They crucified Him. They went their own way, the way of the earth. You too have chosen the way that is narrow. No, you too have chosen the way that is wide and leads to destruction. No wonder you can't say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." No wonder you don't want Jesus to judge. No wonder your heart fails. When Jesus comes again, He will not arrive as a humble baby, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He shall come, and as He comes, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It's too bad that's not a saving proclamation. That's just a statement of simple fact. Doesn't take any faith to say that a simple fact is taking place. And you're saved by faith, not of yourselves, but of God, lest any man should boast. You cannot hear the command to look up. Your redemption draws near, because you've turned your back on Jesus. Now, He will not receive you. Not a terrifying thought. As we go to look for gifts to give people, to share with others in the malls, those things that are most precious, it turns out that the most precious thing that any of us have is our money. And that's what people want. They want our money. They don't want what's in our hearts. They turn away from you when you say, Jesus is the reason for the season. They don't care about that. They care about the stuff that they will get. The stuff of this world. The stuff of the earth. Next, Jesus tells the parable of the fig tree. It's a coded message. It is a message only for those who follow Jesus, who count Him as their Lord and Savior and Him alone. It is not for everybody. Not everybody will hear this parable. Not everybody will understand this parable. For those who hear, they have a heads up. Heads up. Now, watch. Beware. Get ready. Because the king is coming. You know, when a king was arriving, whether he was arriving at Jerusalem or whether he was arriving in Rome, there would be a person who went out before the king's arrival. And he would say, clean the place up. Make straight the paths of the king. That is what John the Baptist did. That is what you and I need to do. We need to get the world ready for the coming of the Savior. For He is here. He has come and He is coming again. The people that we watched on the film just a moment ago, the people of Japan, do not know that Jesus is coming. They do not know that Jesus is here. They do not know that Jesus is coming again. And when they find out, they are full of wonder and of joy and of hope because they have something they can hold on to. Something that is more precious than anything. They begin to understand that Jesus' promises will not pass away. As a matter of fact, you have a blessed assurance that you can count on the blessings that are placed on your behalf because of your faith in Jesus in heaven. You know that when the saints go marching in, you'll go right there with them because of what Jesus has done. And you see these things happen. Jesus is telling everybody about the fig tree. When you see these things happen, be glad, be joyous, be filled with anticipation and expectation. Do not think as the world thinks. Think as God thinks. You're more than a conqueror. Even when the earth melts away, you'll be okay because you are in the hands of your Lord and of your Savior and of your King, Jesus. You will be all right. He will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus then tells us that we should separate ourselves from the world. That we are not to self-medicate with drunkenness. That we're not to be satisfying the lust of the flesh. That we're not to care about the things that the world seems to care about. That we, all of us, need to think with the mind of Christ. That the signs of this time do not come upon us unexpectedly, as a shock, but that we are ready, actively engaged in doing God's Word. Because those of the world will not see. Oh, they will look up at the sky. They will see the same sky we see. They will see the problems of this earth growing in magnitude all of the time. But they will not see what we see. Because they will not be engaged in the work of God. They will be engaged in the work of self-preservation. They will try to build little hovels to protect themselves against the winds and the waves. But unless you are built on the rock of Jesus, that will be washed away. The world will know the times and the signs, but it will not realize who they point to. Your thoughts should not be in alignment with the world's, for the world will not know the times and the signs, and it will come like a thief in the night and snare those who think like the world. We are those who have the love of God in our hearts and should be watchful and always in prayer, thankful that God, by the gift of His Son, Jesus, has wiped away our sins. That's good news. That's wonderful news. We like to live as though life on this earth will go on forever. But there'll be no tomorrow, no judgment, no reward, no punishment. We tell ourselves that we're going to live for many years to come, that there is no hurry in trying to get right with God and becoming those creatures that are His and doing the things that He has created us to do. There's not any hurry to do that, because after all, these things could come in 1,000 years without ever realizing that our lives are measured out in moments, in seconds. You cannot account for your life from this moment to the next. You cannot ever guarantee that you will be here on the morrow or tonight or any other time. You must do what you must do now, in the now. That is what Jesus wants. He wants us to be proactive, actively engaged in doing His work when He comes back. We don't know the times and place. We don't even know that the judgment is coming. The judgment. Because we don't like to think about things after death. Oh, those things that we like, we think about, we ignore the rest. We ignore the negative things that come. We play with knowledge. We are comfortable in the things that we have and the things that we indulge ourselves with. We never think about what comes after death. That undiscovered country, from whose bore no traveler returns, puzzles the will, Shakespeare says, and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others we know not of. Maybe that's the reason too often we say, any time on this side of soil, it's a good time. Because we don't realize that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We do not take these things seriously. And because we do not understand nor take the things of God seriously, we are at risk of losing His approval. Jesus wants us to have a sense of urgency, to live each day in a way that assures that we are ready for the coming of the Lord. Back to our opening question, why choose the text to illustrate the Advent season? Because it shows us the big picture. We should see the light of Jesus Christ in His ministry, in His miracles, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension, and His coming again. We should see it all at once, because it makes us understand why we celebrate the fact that He came into this earth to be Emmanuel, God with us. The bottom line is this. We may not know the hour or day that he will return, but his return is certain. And we need to be ready. You know, I used to watch a television show that's long since gone away, the Johnny Carson show, the late night show. And the announcer, Ed McMahon, would say, "Here's Johnny!" "Well, here's Jesus!" Jesus tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. When Jesus does return, we are to be found actively engaged in doing the work he set us to do. Ours is a life of service in the light that he has brought from heaven into this world. We need to get ready, because here comes Jesus. You know, each of us looks at the Bible, but does the Bible speak to you? We sang a song a moment ago where we talked about Jesus, name above all names. We talked about the fact that Jesus was the living Word. Jesus is alive, and his Word lives in our hearts, in the hearts of everyone who will simply, and here is the really good news, to get ready, all you have to do is open your heart, because he will come in. Jesus is saying to each of us, open your hearts. And I will give you the abundant life. What is the abundant life? The life that you know that leads to him and him alone. Jesus wants to come in and reside within you, to make his temple inside you, to love you, to pick you up when you're down, to heal your sickness, to be closer than a brother. He desires that you become his. Here comes Jesus. Are your hearts open to receive what only he can give you?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.